Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends, and happy Annunciation. Today is the Solemnity of the Annunciation of our Lord. What a great day. What a great day to celebrate the reality of God's coming to us. And it begins, of course, with the whole history of salvation, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into the world, born of a woman, Scripture says. St. Paul tells us, I believe that's in Galatians. Today we're given a beautiful reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, the experience of Our Lady in the Annunciation. I want to just slowly read through it and just touch on different dimensions of it today. But before I do, just it's so good for us to be able to stop and to behold Our Lady. Now, if anybody's listening who's not Catholic and don't quite understand, Catholics don't worship Mary. Mary is a creature. Mary is not a divine being. Mary is not God. And so the Catholic Church does not have many gods. But Mary has been uniquely chosen and uniquely graced and gifted and called by God. And the Church honors her deeply. And she's the first among the disciples of Jesus. So she herself is a follower of Jesus. And Jesus has crowned her. There's just so much there with Our Lady that's important to gaze on in the faith and behold what the Lord has done. And one of the things that always moves my heart is to think about how much Mary is an incarnation of a fundamental principle of what God honors and what God loves. God crowns humility. Mary has a humble heart. She's like Jesus said. Jesus himself had he said, I'm meek and humble of heart. At the core of her being is an openness to God. She's not filled with all that pride that's so present in so many of us. And humility, remember, is not thinking badly about herself. She didn't go through her life thinking badly about herself, but just thinking less about herself, not thinking about herself very much, but thinking about God and living with God and neighbor and Joseph and Jesus and the rest. And, you know, she traveled very little in her life. She lived in that little parts of the little piece of land of the Holy Land, a little time in Egypt and the like, but she didn't have money, she didn't have power, she didn't have a big education, didn't have a big brand. And God exalts the humble and the lowly. Whenever you think about Mary, that's one thing that's good to think about. God doesn't calculate or evaluate life on earth the way we do. Jesus is not impressed with what so many of us still, even baptized, are impressed with. People of power, people of money, people of fame, people, you name it, right? People of power. And these things, Mary in this life, from the point of view of the world, she didn't have any of them. But by God's grace, she lived without sin. By God's grace, she's the mother. She's the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, we'll see in the Annunciation, who she becomes his mother and her blood's flowing through his veins. And God raises up the humble and crowns it, and he brings down the proud. That's a very good meditation for the season of Lent. God is not impressed with money. He's not impressed with all the things human beings are impressed by. He's impressed by the heart, a humble heart, a loving heart, a gentle heart, a kind heart, directed toward God. So here we go. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." So one of the archangels, one of the mighty angels, is acknowledging something God has done to Mary. God has given to her, and she's not even quite fully aware of it, right? She's been filled with grace. Grace is God's gift, and the Lord is with her, and the Lord has prepared her for this unique vocation, this totally unique vocation of any human being that's ever lived. Luke goes on, he says, "But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. She's the favored daughter of the Father. She has found favor. And so God has blessed her. He's pleased with her. Just like the Son, the Holy Spirit will say, and the Father will say at different times in the Gospels, Jesus' baptism and at the Transfiguration, "Behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased and upon whom my favor rests." And you see, first in Jesus, you know, the fullness, where's Mary's favor ultimately coming from? The Father, but really through the Son, who's not even born, but the grace that Jesus won on the cross is being applied to the life of Mary, and she's getting particularly blessed and receiving unique favor to participate in God's mission as a disciple for the salvation of the world. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High." Amen. He will be called Son of the Most High. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So she's receiving clarity from Gabriel, God's intention. Jesus is the Messiah. Her son, God with us, is the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. And he will save Israel and humanity from their sins, and he will rule forever. Jesus is a bridegroom, Scripture says, a king and a judge. He's a son. He's a lot of different things, the line of the tribe of Judah. But he is a king who's going to reign over a kingdom for all eternity. He's bringing the rule of God and the kingdom of God. And so Gabriel is helping Mary understand it. "But Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I have no relation with a man?' And the angel said to her in reply, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.'" Friends, salvation, the work of salvation, begins in the heart of a loving Father, and it's a Trinitarian action. It's the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bringing about the work of salvation for the human race. And here we see the key role that the Holy Spirit plays in the entire story. Really, the whole Bible, from Genesis all the way to the end, the Holy Spirit, the silent member of the Trinity in so many ways, who is the love between the Father and the Son, who goes forward, and Jesus will especially pour out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And here Mary's receiving this absolutely unique grace of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is empowering, overshadowing, and he brings about the conception of Jesus. He brings about this extraordinary reality of the incarnation of Jesus and the great miracle. You notice how God comes to do the greatest thing that's ever happened, and he comes to a young girl who's meek and humble of heart, who's pure, who's simple, not simplistic, who's simple. And she's found favor with God. Boy, the season of Lent, friends, is such a good time for us to stop and think, what audience am I actually playing for? Is it for the recognition and acknowledgement of the world? What drives me? Whose gaze do I most want? You know, whose opinion of what matters most counts in my life? Is it God? Do we call great what God calls great? It's so much we can see in the life of Our Lady of where the Lord wants to take us and what he wants us to learn to value the way he values it, to honor what he honors, to reward what he rewards. Such an important change of mind and heart that's part of the conversion process that he wants to help each and every one of us with. He said, "Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age." That's John, right? John the Baptist. "And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren." So another sign of the breaking out of the kingdom of God and a work of the Holy Spirit. Not quite as grand as in Mary, but amazing as well in Elizabeth, a barren woman. She's able to conceive. Why? Because nothing will be impossible for God. Another important thing for you and me to internalize. With God, nothing is impossible. Don't say it can't be done. Don't say you can't be saved. Don't say you can't be cleansed and changed. Don't say that God can't answer the deepest desires of your heart, because he can. He's the God of the impossible. It says, Mary then said, "Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Her response to the will of God: "I'm your servant. I'm gladly your servant." Doesn't mean I'm a slave. I love this posture, right? She's saying, "This is my heart toward you, God. I trust you. May it be done unto me according to your will. What pleases you, Lord." And that's basically what we took up the last few days and even last week, listening to the words of Jesus, who said very clearly to the Jewish leaders and those who were following him, those who were opposing him, he says, "I do everything the Father commands me because I love him." He says that I make it my aim to please him. Everything I do is to please my Father, because that checks all the boxes. To live that way is to give to God what belongs to God, but it also is the foundation from which and the place from which can flow a real love of neighbor and of self. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If I don't have the right kind of love and love myself in God and receive myself as a gift from God, as a gift of God, a child of God, called by God, and that my whole identity is given to me by him and receiving it is not an imposition on me, getting in the way of my self-design. It's the ultimate gift and the acknowledgement I come from God, and he made me not to be a slave, but to be his child and to share in the eternal riches of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And let that be our prayer today in this Lent. "I'm your servant, Lord, and I'm so glad." Jesus will say, later in John's gospel, "I call you friends." And he wants to give us the heart of Our Lady, Jesus' own heart, to find great delight, great dignity, complete joy in doing the will of God. And to say, "Lord, may it be done unto me according to thy word. I trust you. I trust your plan for my life. No more negative talk in my head, Lord. I'm not going to believe this storyline the enemy wants to give to me, that nothing ever works for me and I'm not any good and I failed and I feel worthless," and whatever it is that the devil tries to get us to be trapped by. I want to find my dignity. And so Our Lady here says, "I'm the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word." And then soon in Luke's gospel, she's going to magnify the Lord. That's another model for us. "The Lord has done great things for me, and holy is his name." We can say that. You can say that. If you're baptized into Christ and you receive the gift of eternal life, I mean, you receive the gift of grace to become a child of God, and you become a temple of the Holy Spirit, no matter what the physical circumstances of our lives, friends, they're going to be over soon. We're in a fallen world. And yes, those are hard. But in the moment, like the saints did, you can declare, "The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Because the big stuff in my life can never be taken away, ever. And then finally, at the wedding at Cana, Mary's last word, she says, "Do whatever he tells you to do." So that's some great advice. It's a way to follow Mary and celebrate this solemnity, that we want it done unto us according to thy word. We want to magnify the Lord and want to do whatever he tells us to do. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.